Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
At 11:15 a.m. Monday, I received an email from the governor's legal counsel containing Governor DeSantis' plan for congressional redistricting, and here we are 2 days later on the Senate floor considering that plan.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. The governor came up with a map to redraw the district. And we've been talking about this for a couple of days, but this is Senator Don Gates, our senator, carrying the bill on behalf of the governor, but not exactly the most enthusiastic advocate. It was kind of interesting to hear him essentially get up in front of the Senate yesterday and spend a lot of time saying, well, that's what the governor says, and this is what the governor says, and that's what the governor's people say, which is very different from saying it's what he says. But, you know, somebody's got to carry the bill, and he was willing to do it.
Some people say we should have had more notice, more time, and I feel that way too. But of all the folks who came yesterday to the Rules Committee to protest the governor's proposal, I doubt any of them would have stayed home if they had just had a few more days to think about it.
Savage. I also think we should have had more time, but, you know, all the fools making noise here at the Capitol the last couple of days and upset about this bill, it's not like they were not going to show up if we'd have done it next week. They were, you know, one of my favorite stories of all time is I can never remember exactly where it came from, but a guy goes to his neighbor and says, "Hey man, can I borrow a can of, you know, mushroom soup?" And he says, "Nope." He says, "Well, why not?" He says, "Because I got to mow the lawn." He says, "What does borrowing a can of mushroom soup have to do with you mowing the lawn?" He says, "Nothing. But if I don't want to loan you a can of mushroom soup, any excuse is as good as any other excuse." You know, like, but that's the point. Like, you know, a lot of times, it came real fast, and that's our big protest. What if it happened in 2 weeks? Some other reason. You know, it doesn't matter. They were going to be opposed anyway.
The governor cut it close. He could have sent the email earlier, but he played by the rules, our Senate rules that prescribe the lead time for items to be presented to the Rules Committee.
Yeah, so the governor played by the rules. He did what was required by the law, and here we are. By the way, on the issue of waiting, I actually agree. I think that this was done too quickly and there was not enough time for the Senate to really consider this map. We'll talk about more about that later. But at the same time, there is a back-end constraint given that primaries and elections are coming soon. So if you're going to redraw the districts, you've got to get it done before all of that is essential. And, you know, even a week or two makes a difference, right? Because people are filing for seats and running campaigns and, you know, these districts will already change who's filed to run for which seat. So that's not a small consideration.
The governor's proposal is not unprecedented. There is no federal or state law prohibiting mid-decade congressional redistricting. In fact, Florida has done it 4 times before for various reasons. 7 states are redistricting now in the middle of a decade, some blue states, some red states. And in Florida, the governor has a constitutional role in congressional redistricting. He can propose a redistricting plan anytime mid-decade, as he has successfully done before. Some may not like that he can do that or that he is doing it, but he can do it.
That's right. And he does not have that same power when it comes to legislative or Florida Senate seats. Those are not within his purview. Those are originated by the legislature. But for the congressional seats in particular, the governor has the prerogative. And in this case, it's worth pointing out, several other states already have or are doing this, most notably and egregiously Virginia. Okay, but, you know, you had Texas doing it. You had Illinois threatening to do it. You had California's done it. You know, I think they've done it. The point is, this is being done by several states for different reasons. And we are in a situation where, well, you can argue that Florida shouldn't do this, but Florida's not the only one doing it. And, you know, to ignore what's going on in other states would be I mean, to ignore the context within which the question of who should control Congress and how is relevant. So it's been done before. It's not unprecedented. It's within his power, and other states are doing it. So, you know, shush, you're being silly.
In his letter of transmittal, the governor told us why. He gave us two reasons. First, to redress what he says is an imbalance, an illegal imbalance of one person, one vote. The governor argues that disproportionate surges in population in a state that is surging in population have left some voters with diminished electoral rights. And Mr. Pareda, representing the governor, says he has drawn maps to make those districts precisely equal and to redress those inequities.
If 1,800,000 people move into the state, that can dramatically change the proportional representation of each congressional district. It also could not change. If they evenly seated themselves all over the state, then it wouldn't matter. But if, for instance, you have an extra 200,000 people go into Congressional District 20 and none of them go into our Congressional District 1, guess what that means? Congressional District 1 has too much power. Your vote here matters more than your vote in District 20. And the one person, one vote concept of every Floridian having an equal share of power in Congress becomes disrupted. And their maps or their evidence indicates that that's exactly what's happened. And so the first justification here is to remedy. Yeah, I mean, why do we do a redistricting every 10 years? For this exact reason, because populations shift. Now, part of the redistricting every 10 years is you have an allocation by Congress of how many districts each state will get, which is the at the larger level. Like if a lot of people move from, say, Illinois and New York to Florida, guess what? We get more, they get fewer. Okay, but the same thing applies to the issue of vote dilution. Even if you don't net gain seats or lose seats, you still have to redraw the districts to make sure the same number of people are in each district. Well, if, you know, mid-decade, you have enough people come into a state that the population shifts make it so that the you would not have, could not have drawn the old districts the way they are right now because of population numbers. Well, you know, to a certain degree, that's always true. You know, one more person does mean a vote dilution, but 100,000 more people is a significant vote dilution. So we're fixing those maps because of population shifts. That's the governor's position. The other issue.
The second reason the governor gives for proposing this plan to us is that any district lines drawn with a racial preference are unconstitutional. So Mr. Pareda, again on the governor's behalf, has drawn districts which he says are race neutral, taking no account of race whatsoever. The governor's laid out his legal and his constitutional theory, plainly declaring that the Tier 1 racial preferences in the Fair Districts Amendment are, in the governor's view, unconstitutional and inconsistent with the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution.
This is really important to understand because this is the key tying together the Calais decision that just came down from the Supreme Court yesterday, the redistricting maps drawn by Governor DeSantis and, of course, ultimately approved yesterday by the House and by the Senate, and all of the discussion around things like the Voting Rights Act and the Fair District Amendment, or FDA, as you sometimes hear it, although that's a little bit of a problematic acronym because we also have an FDA that deals with food and people get confused. You know, is this the FDA that's changing my Fruit Loops or is this the FDA that's changing my congressional district? I don't know. Both FDAs, right? Okay. So the Fair District Amendment is the amendment that was passed in 2010 that says in the Florida Constitution, Article 3, Sections 20 and 21, we talked about this yesterday, you got to pay attention all during the week, class, okay? You can't just show up one morning at 5:18 and think you're going to get it all. We cover a lot of territory, and we don't repeat ourselves a lot. John, fair?
Very fair.
There you go. Okay. I know every day it's a four-hour class. It's only 2 hours you can take out commercials and news. But you got to listen to the news, too. So anyway, back to what's going on here. The Fair District Amendment was passed in 2010, and that's the one that says that in Florida, you cannot use race. You cannot disfavor race. Okay, it's actually pretty technical. But also, you can't draw boundaries with the intent to favor a party, partisanship, or an incumbent to protect incumbents. Now, in the federal, you can. There's no federal prohibition against partisanship in drawing these lines or against protecting incumbents. In fact, in the Calais case, the Louisiana case that Supreme Court heard arguments and what is wrong with my mouth, and issued the decision about yesterday. They specifically said they were doing this to protect incumbents, like Mike Johnson. They drew the districts with protecting the incumbents in mind, which is allowed. That is under the federal constitution, that is allowed, because states are the original sources of authority and political autonomy in our system, and they grant some of that away to the federal. They never granted away the ability to draw their own congressional representation, which you can understand, because if states are going to be represented in Congress, they're going to do it the way they want to do it. I don't mean to be giving you the lesson in federalism, too, but hey, like I said, we cover a lot in this show. But the point is, in Florida, we decided to limit ourselves. We gave away a power, not to anybody. We gave it to nobody. We said, we will say that we cannot draw districts for Congress that favor incumbents. Also, we cannot draw districts that disfavor minorities, disfavor races. We will not be able to draw districts that favor political parties one over the other. You say, well, isn't this map favoring the Republicans? Probably. Most interpreters say yes. But yesterday, the Supreme Court handed down a decision in the Calais case that I love how this is getting reported. It's gutting the Voting Rights Act. That's one way to look at it. The weird thing, though, is that it actually affirmed the Voting Rights Act if you read the opinion. So you're like, wait, what? Yeah, okay. So, well, how is it possible that they affirm the Voting Rights Act when all the news is reporting it's gutting the Voting Rights Act? I don't know. Maybe commentators have a bias, or maybe they don't understand the law, or maybe they're stupid, or all three. Anyway, it affirmed the 15th Amendment. And it said that the Voting Rights Act has been misunderstood and misapplied all these years since 1965 because people didn't think about the 15th Amendment, which says that nobody can have their right to vote abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. Meaning that if you favor black people over white people in your drawing of the districts, that is also a violation of the 15th Amendment. Unless you do it specifically to remedy deliberate racial injustice in prior map drawing. And since we do not currently live in an environment that has evidence of deliberate racial bias in prior map drawing, you cannot say that our boundaries are correct if they favor race at all. And favoring blacks over whites is favoring race and is vote dilution for whites. And that's essentially what the Supreme Court found yesterday, correctly. But yet there are a bunch of racists. The memes running around on social media is the six so-called conservatives on the court wearing a Klan hat. Have you seen this picture, John? Yeah, that's no, the one liberals are I running haven't. With now is everybody but Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson. They're all in the Klan. It shows the black. It's a very potent picture. The black justice, the black robes, and then the white peak hats, you know. And what I'm thinking my whole time is, you think Clarence Thomas would get in the Klan? Show me what's under those hats. You got a woman, unlikely Klan member, you know, historically, kind of a sexist organization. We don't talk much about that because they get more of a rap for being racist. But also, not a lot of women in the Klan, historically. Not sure they would have gone for Amy Coney Barrett. But also, I am fairly certain, okay, oh, brother, we're out there aside, that, or, you know, Blazing Saddles aside, that probably Clarence Thomas was not getting invited to be in the Klan. But anyway, that's the picture that's going around. Okay, so back to Florida. So the Supreme Court says you can only use race if you're remedying prior deliberate racism. Otherwise, you can't use race. And since in Florida, we don't have that kind of caveat built into ours, it just says, you know, you cannot disfavor, you know, essentially black people, that Governor DeSantis says, well, that's illegal. That's a violation of the 15th Amendment. Now, he didn't have that ruling in hand, but he did have that legal theory in hand when he proposed these maps. So he says these maps both account for the changes in population and they account for the fact that we actually have drawn maps on the basis of race. You're not allowed to. We used to draw them worse on the basis of race. You remember that District 5, that weird squirrely, they're always weird and squirrely ones, the ones they draw to make sure that you get a black representative. And we got rid of those a couple years ago. And DeSantis basically said, yeah, but the ones that we have now still account for race, and they don't account for population shift. So here's your new ones that don't account for race at all and also account for the population shift. And the Democrats are saying, how dare you break up races that have been put together in single voting districts? And we're like, that's the point. It's actually the goal. The goal is to separate. No, the goal is to not care about the races. That's the kind of map that the Supreme Court has asked for and to make for the populations to be equal. All right, so that's your, like, quick crash course on what happened yesterday. And it was happening during the Senate. This is kind of funny. Carlos Guillermo Smith actually kind of asked a question in the middle of his question. He's like, uh-oh, my phone just lit up. The Supreme Court issued their opinion. And now we got to think about how that works. And then they did not take a break, and then they did take a break, and they came back and talked about it. One other thing to keep in mind. Can you, in Florida, under the Fair District Amendment, redistrict on the basis of political advantage? Under the Fair Districts Amendment, FDA 2010, you cannot. It's prohibited. So how can you do a map that seems so superficially, at least, to favor Republicans? DeSantis's argument is this. There's no severability in the amendment, and we voted for the whole thing. Therefore, if the Supreme Court says you can't favor race, everything goes away, and we're no longer limited by that amendment. Even if you might like us to have a rule that says we can't draw partisan benefit or can't draw incumbent benefit, that rule no longer applies now that the Supreme Court has struck down have changed the understanding of how race works in these things, and so the whole thing goes away. That's his argument. I think he's probably right legally. I would also absolutely favor reaffirming the other elements of the Fair District Amendment so that it doesn't favor partisanship and doesn't favor incumbency. But that's going to be a fight for a future legislature. 526 on News Radio 92 and a future court. This is all coming to the courts. Don't worry. There's definitely going to be litigation over this. I'm Andrew McKay.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. Need your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Office of Financial Regulation and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Secret offers. Guaranteed returns. Over-the-top promises that you too can make fast money. These are all red flags that you should be wary of when looking at investment opportunities. Visit Florida's Office of Financial Regulation website 24/7 to learn what questions to ask before you invest. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Visit SLOFR.gov to learn more.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I request nothing beyond the thickly cushioned luxury of seats available even in soft Corinthian leather.
He spends nights in California.
Read me the phone book, Mr. Bork, and I'll be happy. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. several people texting in a good question, which is, all right, Andrew, it sounds like we can't use race in drawing districts anymore unless there is clear, abundant evidence that they were previously drawn deliberately with race in mind, as in you can't help the blacks unless they were suppressed on purpose before. And that's correct. That is both the opinion of the Supreme Court. That is also the application by Governor DeSantis. You say, well, that's all fine when it comes to congressional districts. But isn't District 3 in Escambia County drawn specifically so that you can have a black representative on, for example, the school board and DCUA and the county commission? The answer is yes. And wasn't that related to a Supreme Court case? Yes. It sounds like that's not legal anymore. Correct. But, yeah, if you remember the last redistricting, they were literally counting, here's how many black people were adding, and here's how many black people were deleting. Let's make sure to not dilute the black vote and make sure that we can have a majority-minority district so that, you know, black people get elected to these offices. Oh, yeah, that's unconstitutional now. No, that's the end of the story. I mean, you still have to have the, you know, districts redrawn, and we might even have to get rid of single-member districts. We'll see.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. It's now been more than 2 months since the war in Iran began. President Trump describes Iran as he searches for a peace deal that means no nukes for the Islamic Republic.
They've come a long way. The question is whether or not they're going to go far enough.
The ceasefire is in place, but could that change?
Axios reports CENTCOM has prepared a plan for a short and powerful wave of strikes on Iran, likely including infrastructure targets, in hopes of breaking the negotiating deadlock, three sources with knowledge said. The hope would be that Iran would then return to the negotiating table, showing more flexibility on the nuclear issue.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Today is 4:30. Ironically, it's the same numbers for a gallon of regular. AAA reports the national average is $4.30, up 27 cents from just a week ago. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 70 degrees. Some rain reported across the area, and we will get a look at our forecast with Channel 3 here in just a few minutes. A Pensacola man is in jail on a DUI manslaughter and vehicular homicide charge in connection with a crash from November of 2025 that killed a 17-year-old on Highway 29. The Florida Highway Patrol says 26-year-old Terrell Reese was driving 117 miles an hour in a 40-mile-an-hour zone when his Dodge Challenger slammed into a Toyota. This was Thanksgiving Day last year. The teen was ejected and pronounced dead at the scene. Reese's blood alcohol level was between 0.09 and 0.16, according to FHP. He's held without bond pending a bond hearing. A vehicle pursuit in Baldwin County ended in front of the Central Baldwin Middle School yesterday. Deputies performed a pit maneuver to stop the fleeing suspect in that case. The chase began around the Summerdale area. The school was briefly placed on a lockdown as a precautionary measure when the vehicle came to a stop on school grounds. The suspect did not attempt to enter the school. Students and staff were not in danger. The lockdown was lifted once that suspect was taken to custody. No injuries were reported, and the suspect is now facing a felony eluding and drug charge. A Fort Walton Beach man has pleaded guilty to stealing payment card information from customers while working at a Wendy's in Destin. Marcus Bernard Clark photographed more than 200 credit and debit cards belonging to customers during his time at the restaurant in 2022. The images were discovered on his phone during an unrelated criminal investigation. Clark now faces up to 12 years in prison and is scheduled to be sentenced on July 16th in Pensacola. Now, the Escambia Sheriff's Office has a message for whoever it is that's promoting a planned beach takeover on Saturday. The sheriff says, we know who you are, and if something goes wrong, you could be held criminally liable. Sheriff Chip Simmons says they've tracked the post to a specific individual.
You can't just loosely put invitations like this together, because if someone gets hurt, I'm going to try everything I can to bring charges on you for starting this mess.
And Simmons says deputies will have heavy coverage at the beach on Saturday, and vehicles that are parked improperly could also be towed at double the normal rate. He says the post may or may not be serious, but his office is treating it as a credible threat to public safety. Well, nearly 6 years now after the deadly shooting at NAS Pensacola, and Congressman Jimmy Patrona says families are still waiting for answers. The Department of Justice is still not disclosing some key information. Patrona says he's planning a sit-down with the federal prosecutor for the Northern District of Florida.
Closure would be great. I remember making it there that night of the shootings, and it was very traumatizing. And so when you've got an event like that, you know, we reached out to the federal prosecutor for the Northern District, and we kind of got it's an investigation in progress. You know, when we are prepared to release more information, we will.
Patrona says multiple administration changes and a new federal attorney have created a significant learning curve. He says he is determined to get answers for families who've been waiting so long. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. And let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Periods of rain are what we can expect all the way from start to finish on your Friday eve. Temperatures will be mild in the 70s as we'll be left with more clouds and sun. Into Friday and through the first half of the weekend, rain chances continue to linger in the forecast. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather.
70 degrees right now. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Murray with your money now. U.S. Steel said its Big River complex in Arkansas is getting a nearly $2 billion advanced iron-making facility. The company says the operation will be the first in the country to move directed reduced iron into furnaces while it's still at high temperatures. Construction is expected to start right away and take about 2.5 years. NVIDIA has backed Swedish AI legal tech Legora in a $50 million Series D extension. CNBC reports the chip giant has been ramping up startup investments in recent years. Investors have been piling into promising young AI companies as they bet big on the commercial potential of tech to reshape entire industries and bring big efficiency gains. Alphabet and Meta both boosted their guidance when they issued first quarter earnings. However, CNBC reports Wall Street applauded Google's parent while punishing Meta, a reflection on how investors view their AI strategies. Both companies reported better than expected revenue and the strongest growth in years. Futures are currently mixed. That's your money now.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors, at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you.
On your phone, on your computer,
wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter even when you're not near a radio.
and that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. We've been talking in just a second to Mayor D.C. Reeves. First, I want to let you know that this interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with legacy Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right. So the biggest, hottest question in Pensacola right now that I'm aware of is, where is this concert going to happen? Because it was going to be at Wahoo's, and then it was going to be at the beach, and then it's going to be at the Hunter Amphitheater. And I heard somebody say that it was going to be at the Surfboard, and then it's going to be at the Bayview Cross, and then it's going to be at the, you know, the they're going to just do it at Baptist. I mean, not any of that. But, okay, where is it actually going to happen, assuming that it happens next Wednesday?
Well, all of those scenarios aren't wildly inaccurate, considering that's pretty much been our lives the last 48 hours, is following along that same path you just described. But we have confirmation as of yesterday. The concert will take place at Hunter Amphitheater behind Maritime Park.
Okay.
So the amphitheater to the south. We don't have set times yet. Today we will get a lot of confirmation around timeline. Because remember, what we're really doing here is you have a show that's going to have 6.5-ish million people watching it, a great 4-minute infomercial in Pensacola. And that's why this matters. You know, there's some people maybe who don't watch the show, or like, hey, why is this such a big deal? Why is the city spending time on it? Why is the mayor? Well, because a 4-minute infomercial about the city of Pensacola in prime time on ABC, I don't know how many millions of dollars that would cost.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it's a pretty important thing to make sure that we have our best foot forward and that we put on this great homecoming thing, not only for Kila, but for the citizens to be able to enjoy it. So it's, you know, it's definitely a big deal. And it will be at the amphitheater. It will be the evening of Wednesday, May 6th. It'll be somewhere in the 6 to 7 p.m. time frame. We're going to confirm that. And then there'll also be a welcoming parade that will actually be on South Palafox Street. So think where New World Landing used to be, basically from Cedar going south towards Plaza de Luna, not all the way down there.
Okay.
But there'll be like a little mini parade there with bands and second line and things like that. That will happen. That will take place in the mid-afternoon before the show.
Fun.
So
okay.
At least mentally, you can kind of be planning on a mid-afternoon into the evening. Tickets will be free. We'll have details on how you will be able to get those. If the amphitheater tickets fill up, then there will be overflow opportunity into the stadium to watch on the big Jumbotron. You'll still be able to hear it loud and clear. Or if you want to be able to sit, because if you're in the amphitheater, you're going to be standing more than likely. So working through all those details, and we should have something. The goal with the entire team, the Wahoos, the city, American Idol, is to have something pretty firmed up to announce tomorrow, with maybe the hopefully making tickets available on Friday.
I two questions. One is, if it could overflow into Wahoos, why wouldn't it just be at Wahoos? And then the second question is, I know the beach obviously was under strong consideration. The visuals, like you talk about, for being an ad for Pensacola, you know, don't get me wrong, Maritime Park and the amphitheater are great, but, you know, beach ball in the background behind the, you know, the pavilion there has an extra appeal. I get the downside of parking and traffic and the cost of the bridge and all that kind of stuff, but can you maybe explain some of why we sure. landed there instead of somewhere else?
Well, I mean, first of all, the thing is, I mean, this is a homecoming concert, and certainly, you know, Kila and her family and her friends come from the city of Pensacola. And I think it was important in representation of the people of Pensacola. And I know it's important to Kila and her family to have it where she's from. She played sports at SYSA. That's where her, you know, where she grew up, where she and so truly having it in a city where it's a little more accessible to friends and family and residents than the beach is. But No fear. Certainly, American Idol is going to be taping here all day. I can guarantee you. I don't know their schedule. I'm certain they're going to be going out to the beach. I believe they may even be staying out at the beach, the American Idol crew. So you can have it all. You can really have footage both ways.
And that was my thought, too, is I thought particularly for her friends and family and the community that's going to want to go, you know, no offense to the beach, but she's not from the beach. You know, she's from the city. And so, right. You know, let's have it. But Wahoos, why not in Wahoos instead of outside and overflow into?
Yeah, great question. Obviously, that's where we started. But the limitation was there just turns out that there's a school district baseball game, the one the year that they do that's Wednesday at 11 a.m., which is awesome. 1,800 kids. I'm sure Keela and Drew are going to be able to have some interaction at that game. The Blue Angels are flying over. So it's almost like, I mean, perfect in that sense. But you would have had to flip the field. It would have been a significant expense to have a stage drug in there in 3 or 4 hours, 40 or 50 crew. And then you have some limitations on who can be on the infield, where you put people, things like that. So the Wahoos have been awesome, have been at every turn. Responding and willing to help in any way possible. It just wasn't feasible. We would have had to basically put money down yesterday, whether this thing happens or not. So there just were some limitations, but considering the significant expense of turning the field.
That all makes perfect sense. Plus, bury the lead. Blue Angels are going to fly over the baseball event. That's cool. Last thing on this subject, if she doesn't make top three, and we have every expectation that she will, but if she doesn't, you said yesterday emphatically that we will find a way to honor her because nobody from Pensacola has ever even cracked top five in this competition. So there's still going to be something. It just may not be this thing. Is that right?
Exactly. That's correct. Because we really won't know what her schedule is. I mean, a lot of times, many of these contestants that would not be in would go back for the finale. And so, I mean, her schedule would be completely different. But absolutely, bottom line is we will do something for Keela and her family and the community. We probably just won't do it on this enhanced timeline, I will call it, to be able to get it done. So if we may just kick this back a few weeks and get with her and her schedule and see what makes sense.
Mr. Mayor, a lot of stuff that we want to get to with you, but one thing that I have been asked, and you talked about it yesterday. First of all, the cardboard recycling or the recycling at Summit is going to go away. May 4th, Star Wars Day is the last day. May 5th, it's going to be on Leonard Street. That's going to save us a ton of money for all kinds of reasons because basically all you're doing now is collecting trash. People deposit for free there. It's not recyclable, really. But yard waste, you guys have, I mean, it's hard to keep up with yard waste, but I've had people telling me that they're more than a couple of weeks behind, days behind. Is this a citywide problem? Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a couple converging things. Number one, I mean, certainly our job is to get there as quick as we can and pick it up as quick as we can. And I can tell you we are doing it as quick as we can, but it's not up to satisfaction, which I certainly understand and apologize to our residents for. But the bottom line is everybody cuts their yard and their limbs right around the same time each year. and when you're operating a business that needs to be functional both financially and operationally, you can't just keep full-time people on all year round for this one month. So you have to kind of adapt, right, and do the best that you can. So, for example, I mentioned yesterday, we have an extra temp crew that's taking a temp truck, ultimately, or a truck that's usually not on the line that's going around your neighborhoods right now. We obviously, sanitation, you want to have as many jobs filled and retained as possible. That is one of our departments that obviously keeping in the folks is not the easiest. So if you know anybody that looking for a high quality job in the city of Pensacola, that certainly would be helpful. But we're about 6 business days behind because, you know, when things go wrong, sometimes the numbers can, anecdotally increase.
Yeah.
So again, I'm not saying that there isn't people that have been waiting longer than 6 days. What we can tell you is we're tracking it very closely and we're about 6 business days behind. So, you know, call it a week behind. So we, again, appreciate your patience. We also remind you that if you hire landscapers or anybody cutting trees, that is not allowed, that is not supposed to be picked up. And if you're renovating and you put debris out front, that's not supposed to be picked up. So that slows us down as well. So we're basically at about triple what we normally would be. And so we're going time and a half. We're going as hard as we can. That's what I can promise you. We aren't sitting on our hands saying we're not worried about it. So we appreciate your patience and forgiveness on that. But I can certainly tell you that we are on it as aggressively as we possibly can be with every body that we have to get that all picked up.
All right. Like I'm 5, explain to me the Fricker Center, where we're at, how we got here, and what we're doing.
Yeah, well, Fricker Center is a $10 million renovation that will be the second senior center ever in the city, official senior center. Bayview has been, you know, it's probably been, what, 40, 50 years or something like that since we've put in Bayview. So in the first on the west side of the city, there'll also be a career opportunity there. There's going to be some health opportunity partnership with Baptist Hospital, really, truly making it a community center. So a $10 million facility, grant funded, two different grants, actually, will be storm hardened as well. And what will happen is basically all the classes are going to be out. The seniors, the school stuff will be out by the end of May, and then construction will begin. So and the hope will be to reopen in late spring of 27. But I wanted to make the point that we have contacted parents, seniors, everybody's well aware of this, and we want to make sure that there's no possible way that that information could slip through the cracks, and we're helping people get over to other classes at Woodland Heights, at Cobb, et cetera. So we're being very proactive in making sure people have what they need during this downtime. But of course, we're very, very excited about having the biggest investment in a community center that we've ever had, and doing it on a side of the city that hasn't historically seen that type of investment.
I think it was the last thing, but this is actually, before we get to the lightning round, probably the last thing. I'm not going to make you be the bad guy to say it. I'll be the bad guy to say it. Amtrak is never coming to Pensacola. It keeps coming up. You know, I've lived here since 2014. We periodically get this, you know, Amtrak is coming to Pensacola or whatever. It's never going to come here. It doesn't make sense. The money doesn't make sense. The ridership doesn't make sense. Mobile actively wanted to prevent it from happening. They didn't need to. It's never going to happen. I know you keep getting asked about it, and every once in a while somebody gets a burr and they ask. But you can feel free to just be silent if you don't want to disagree with me about anything. But your comments, you know, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, quick version is if the hundreds of millions of dollars are made available by the federal government for rail, which isn't completely out of the norm, but a lot of that money goes to the Northeast, as you can imagine, things like that. If that money becomes available, we are certainly at the ready. That's what I would tell you. But this is not going to be something that's dictated grassroots from the mayor or the city council or the county commission or anything like that. To fund something like this, we are talking a massive investment, more than our two budgets combined, to make it happen. So if we can do it, we're ready. We'll always have that train station ready to go, even if we put someone in there. But we really have to be waiting on other news to take place, other dominoes to fall before that really becomes something here.
So I've lied to you three times now. Last thing before the lightning round. This is the anniversary of the flood of 2014. Major flooding on Palafox, major flooding on Brent, major flooding from the airport. Piedmont blew up because of it. The scenic, all of these things. I always like to remind people that since then, the city and the county have done tremendous work to improve stormwater mitigation. We got projects going on Main Street right now that's being done. Palafox is in the process of being done. First time ever we're going to actually have storm drains down there. ECUA and or the city and or the county have done immense work, and we haven't seen that kind of rain again. But also, even at Sally, it wasn't nearly as bad as it had been during the flood, right?
That's right. And that is our benchmark. Every time we talk about one of these transformational stormwater projects, Hollis T. Williams, Main Street, all of these, that is the benchmark. That's what we point to and say, like, that really can't happen again. Right. And you know what? To give credit to our citizens as well, when we poll, what do you care about? There aren't a lot of cities that rank stormwater as high as we do. And I know it's from that 2014 flood, because it became so real to people, and something you thought you'd never see. So our citizens have advocated for it since then as well. That makes it a little easier on the government side to get these things done.
All right, the lightning round, finally, after many delays, always get to. First question, what's the tackiest lawn ornament, decor, or landscaping element that you see people have in their yards?
Oh, I thought you were going to say mine. I was like, man, I'm just trying to keep up with my yard. probably other political opponent signs probably be my
That's a crafty answer, non-answer. Well done. Well done. All right. What TV show would you like to go back and rewatch? But maybe it's daunting because there's so many episodes. But what TV show would you've watched it all, but you'd like to see it again?
Breaking Bad, for sure.
Oh.
I think that's one of the best of all time. But it's just too many seasons. I can't make that kind of commitment.
I actually just watched it for the first time recently myself. Last one is in the movie Demolition Man. I don't know if you've seen it. Taco Bell wins the franchise wars. If you had to predict a restaurant or service, if you want to think of it that way, that would win the franchise wars and be the only restaurant in the future, which one would it be and why?
Well, I haven't seen it, but I do know this answer, which is Waffle House, of course. It's open all the time. It's got more longevity than anybody else. 24/7, 365. You can't question endurance or stamina. I think that's an easy answer.
They probably could get FEMA funding, you know, for expansion, as they are part of the early warning network of real danger. So, okay, a good answer. All right.
That's right.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. We look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you, as always, for the time.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew.
Let me extra. I mean, the opponent's political sign is a super smooth answer. It really is. You didn't call out anybody's flamingos. You didn't call out anybody's shiny iridescent ball orbs, whatever. They're potters. They're white painted concrete cinder block. Like, you didn't offend anybody. That's the smooth answer. You got to give them credit for that. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid, installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages, keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes opening doors of Northwest Florida. Today at 9, Executive Director Bruce Cady and Autumn McAllister, Director of Emergency Services at Lakeview Center, help connect individuals from crisis response to coordinated entry, housing resources, and long-term stability. Opening Doors is the lead agency for the homeless continuum of care in our area. Don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 with Opening Doors of Northwest Florida. Sponsored by Nurses on Call, serving nurse staffing solutions for the Gulf Coast.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin, weekdays 4 to 7. On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
I've been to 10.
No way.
If I'm lying, I'm dying.
Some Chains today. You needed it. Yeah. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. I don't know what the genre of music for this station is. It's what Andrew likes. And sometimes it's what John likes, because I do give him a little bit of power, and, you know, sometimes he does okay with it.
Sometimes.
Every once in a while, he throws in some country song.
Don't get a side eye, so I'm good.
Oh, man. I don't know. Just seriously, good music. That's the goal. Somebody said, Andrew, you should really start watching Better Call Saul.
And you know what was funny?
Bob Odenkirk is a good, I like that character, but Breaking Bad was fine. It was not great and it was not terrible. There were terrible elements of it. Like, I just don't want to watch Jesse Pinkman anymore. Like, oh, that guy drives me crazy. Well, he's a crucial character. Yeah, it's terrible. Anyway, but, John, you and I were talking off the air, and you were telling me.
Yeah, I had just said that once he said that comment to me, and I was like, you were, and then somebody texted in. So I'm like, I'm not the only one that said that to you.
Yeah. That show dragged a lot. Look, I know those of you who love it think this is the best thing that was ever made. You overrate it. You oversell it. And you make it seem like it's, oh, David Wayne, you want in on this? Uh-oh. Suddenly you're interested? The show's overrated.
It's not overrated. No.
It absolutely is.
Best show ever made.
It absolutely is not the best show ever made. It's a good show. It's not a great show, and it had a lot of parts that were stupid and dragged. And the ongoing will I, won't I, what's my psychological reason for this? How can I figure this out with my wife? Because she was a terrible character, too. So I watched it all recently. It's fresh. I put a lot of hours in watching that show.
I don't know what to say.
I don't either.
All right. You probably love The Sopranos, too.
I actually haven't watched the Sopranos.
Sopranos was disappointing to me, too. It was okay. A couple episodes were good. You know, you'd be better off watching The Wire. That was fantastic, at least the first season. So, all right, I'm done offending people. How dare you, Andrew? Well, I mean, you know, look, it's TV. You can have an opinion. It's like sports. You can have an opinion. I have an opinion. I have people that they cannot believe with my sense of humor that I didn't like The Office. I hated The Office.
Oh, no.
Every moment I've ever watched of The Office was painful to me.
But have you been in that situation in an office?
Yeah.
Okay.
I get what it's about.